Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, October 20, 2024, Romans.
All right, a couple of things before we get started. We have two birthdays this week. One is tomorrow, Brian Hervis. His birthday is tomorrow. And Wednesday, Cliff, it's his birthday. Brian, on the law enforcement, is working his tail off and doesn't get back till late. And so he is praying for you all right now. Cliff is busy running hurdles, his spiritual hurdles, and I encourage you all to pray for Cliff and Darlene and Ryan, the whole family. And then, coming up November 2nd, Saturday, November 2nd, the evangelism team will be going back to Child Haven. They've invited us to come back and to proclaim the grace gospel to the little people there, the elementary students and staff. So pray for the evangelism team that they'll be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hands to be used by Him. Pray that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately, and pray that God might use this to His glory, to bring many sons into glory. So that's coming up Saturday, November 2nd at Child Haven. And the only other thing that is very important, football. And there is something that I have learned. You don't want to be number one. You don't want to be number one. Georgia was number one. They lost. Alabama was number one. They lost to one of the worst teams in the nation, Vanderbilt. Texas was number one. They lost. Now, probably, Oregon is going to be number one. Oh, boy. Now, UNLV and Washington State University are ahead of the curve. They already have one loss. They are going to wait till they play for the national championship and be crowned the number one team in the nation. See, they're way ahead of the curve. See? The Cougars won. UNLV won. So you just got to think divine viewpoint on these things. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, one of the most amazing and powerful chapters in the New Testament scriptures that puts the spotlight on God the Holy Spirit. There's no other chapter in all of the New Testament scriptures that puts the spotlight on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, and His function in this unique dispensation, the church age. So in preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 8. The spotlight has been put on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, and his unique function in this dispensation, the church age. Different from any other dispensation. The only other dispensation where there is a greater ministry of God the Holy Spirit will be the millennial kingdom. But we're not in the millennial kingdom. We're in the church age. And this is the greatest dispensation for the function of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, we start verse 1, sounds like this. Therefore, now, there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, in union with Jesus Christ. How did we get there? As a result of the baptism of the Spirit. Never occurred before in human history. Only in this dispensation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit entering us into union with the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Because the principle of the Spirit of life, God the Holy Spirit, in Christ Jesus, has set you free from the principle of the sin nature and spiritual death. Verse 3. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, the law was never intended for you to try to provide salvation by keeping the works of the law, or spirituality by the works of the law, or spiritual maturity by the works of the law. That never was its purpose or function. The Mosaic law was perfect, came from God, but that was not its purpose. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, the sin nature, God, God the Father, accomplished by sending his own Son, the eternal Son of God, from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle the world will ever know, in the likeness of sinful flesh, to take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. And to atone for sin, unlimited atonement. All the sins of the world were gathered up by God the Father, poured out on Christ, judged in Jesus Christ once and for all. He, God the Father, judged sin, the sins of the whole world, in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And then we got halfway through verse 4, and it sounds like this so far. For the purpose that the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the individual believer receives the righteousness from God, justification by faith. And this establishes the grace pipeline, the justice of God on one end, God's imputed righteousness in us on the other end, a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline, immediately at salvation, God sent down 40 salvation blessings above and beyond anything you could ever ask or think. And every day, from that day right up to today, God has been sending down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security, to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world that we might make good decisions to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our lives. And when we make those good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to attain spiritual maturity, to have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart, then the triumph of that imputed righteousness takes place. God sends down greater grace blessings in time, and greater grace blessings to be awarded at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Without the imputation of divine righteousness, the salvation, there can be no blessing to the believer in time or in eternity. God loves His own integrity. God loves His righteousness and perfect justice. And divine justice can only bless divine righteousness. God cannot accept anything less than His righteousness. And God cannot bless anything less than His righteousness. The imputation of divine righteousness is absolutely necessary for any blessing from the justice of God. And we saw that in Matthew 6:33. God supplies His own perfect righteousness to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Justification by faith. This establishes the grace pipeline of phenomenal grace blessings. Now, the last half of verse 4. Again, the first half. For the purpose that the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us. And that we start with the King James. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is the articular present active participle of peripateo with the negative me plus the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative singular of sarx plus the conjunction Allah. And then we have kata repeated, but this time with the noun pneuma. The verb peripateo. P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E, long O. Peripateo. This is the key. And all of you are peripateoing. You're all peripateoing. The question is, are you peripateoing by the sin nature, according to the norms and standards of the sin nature? Or are you peripateoing according to the Holy Spirit? But you're all peripateoing. If you keep peripateoing with the sin nature, you wind up a loser. If you peripateo according to God the Holy Spirit, you'll be a winner. But you're all peripateoing. Every believer in Jesus Christ is peripateoing. Now, literally, peripateo means to go about or to walk about. Figuratively, peripateo refers to the walk of life. And in this dispensation, the church age, peripateo refers to the walk of the spiritual life. Peripateo means to live, to conduct oneself. The negative me says the walk of the spiritual life cannot be lived by the energy of the flesh. The walk of the spiritual life cannot be lived by the power of the sin nature. And the articular participle is substantival. That means it functions as a noun. So it says what should be translated, the ones who do not walk according to the flesh, the sin nature. The ones who do not walk according to the sin nature. And then we have kata plus the accusative. Kata plus the accusative. K-A-T-A. Kata plus the accusative means according to or in accordance with, in conformity with, by the energy of, and then we have our word. We've seen this many times, and you got this down. S-A-R-K-S. Sarks. Now, literally, it's flesh. Sometimes it refers to the human body, but it's really emphasizing here a synonym for the sin nature. The sin nature. So we have the ones who do not walk according to the sin nature. And then we have Allah. The strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. A-L-L-A, and there's no greater contrast than this anywhere in the Word of God. The contrast between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest contrast. So Allah sets up a contrast between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. It sets up a contrast between living in the cosmic system by the sin nature or living the spiritual life by God the Holy Spirit. The greatest of contrasts. So it's the contrast between living by the sin nature in the cosmic system or living by the power of the Spirit of God, the spiritual life. Once again, we have the preposition kata plus the accusative repeated, but this time it's with pneuma. Oh, that sounded like my voice changed there. I finally reached puberty. Yay. I'm glad I reached it before I died. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma, spirit, literally. And here it's for God the Holy Spirit. So, corrected translation. For the purpose that the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us. The ones who do not walk, who are not living according to the sin nature, but according to the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit, and here emphasizing the filling of the Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. All right, one. In the last phrase of Romans 8:4, we have the triumph of imputed righteousness. Living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God the Holy Spirit and attaining spiritual maturity. That's the triumph of imputed righteousness. That's the triumph of justification by faith. So in the last phrase of Romans 8:4, we have the triumph of imputed righteousness. Living the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God the Holy Spirit and attaining spiritual maturity. That's why we're here. God's plan for you didn't stop when you believed in Christ. After salvation, what? Well, for most Christians, that's it. Fire insurance is paid up. Hey, I'm going to be in heaven. Well, yeah. And you're going to be a loser in this life and lose out. Lose out on greater grace blessings in time. Lose out on all crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And Oh, there's a verse coming up when we get in Thursday night class in 2 John. It's the most powerful word to do for believers, for all of us. And it's a warning. Beware, John says, beware that you don't lose out on the mistos, the rewards for the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Beware, beware. And we have a lot of Christians in America. That's not the problem in our country. There are a lot of Christians. It's just that they're living by the power of the sin nature. And they get out of fellowship with God. They don't use rebound. They don't get back into fellowship with God. They just continue on. And continue on, and then God, because God loves them, God spanks them. God, because God loves you, He disciplines you. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And the fact that it even has one word, mastigao, which literally means skin alive with a whip. He disciplines you. And it starts out with warning discipline. And hopefully God gives you that so you come to your senses. Come to your senses and realize, hey, you are out of fellowship with God. You're making bad decisions. You're living in the cosmic system. You rebound, get back in to fellowship with God. Find a sound Bible teaching church. Get your patootie in there and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But if you don't learn from warning discipline, it goes to intensive discipline. There are three categories: warning, intensive, and dying. And if you don't ever learn, well, then the Lord calls you home. You don't lose your salvation, but He calls you home. You're just making too much of a mess of your life and everyone else's around you. And He calls you home. But you're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. So in the last phrase of Romans 8:4, we have the triumph of imputed righteousness, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Point two. This results in great divine blessing from God. Great divine blessing from God. When you reach spiritual maturity, when you fulfill the triumph of imputed righteousness, advancing to maturity, this results in great divine blessing from God coming down the grace pipeline. Three, the Mosaic Law demands perfect righteousness for blessing from God. The Mosaic Law demands perfect righteousness for blessing from God. Four, at salvation, God's perfect righteousness is imputed to the believer. Justification by faith. The imputation at salvation, God's perfect righteousness is imputed to the believer, justification by faith, so that at spiritual maturity, the triumph of imputed righteousness, greater grace blessing can be given to the believer down that grace pipeline. So at salvation, God's perfect righteousness is imputed to the believer, justification by faith, so that at spiritual maturity, the triumph of imputed righteousness, God's greater grace blessings can be given to the believer down that grace pipeline. Five. The imputation of divine righteousness at salvation establishes the basis for the imputation of divine blessings down that grace pipeline. The imputation of divine righteousness at salvation establishes the basis for the imputation of divine blessings down the grace pipeline. Six, it is impossible to attain spiritual maturity by peripateoing, by the energy of the flesh, living according to the norms and standards of the sin nature. Impossible. It's absolutely impossible to attain spiritual maturity by peripateoing, walking, living according to the norms and standards of the sin nature. Seven, we can only attain spiritual maturity by the grace and the power of God, living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. We can only attain spiritual maturity by the grace and power of God, living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. And the word, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit, P-L-long-E-R-O-long-O. Great word. Great word, but a lot of people haven't got a clue what that means, to be filled with the Spirit. The word plerao was used in the ancient world of wind filling the sail of a ship to empower it and drive it through the water. That's what plerao means. So when you read Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit, it's saying keep on being empowered in your life by God the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. It's talking about power. We can only attain spiritual maturity by the grace and the power of God, living the spiritual life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and that is the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and their spiritual skill number one and spiritual skill number two. To execute and live the spiritual life. Eight, experiential sanctification. Great word, sanctification. Positional sanctification in union with Christ. Experiential sanctification takes you from salvation to spiritual maturity. After salvation, what? Experiential sanctification. To grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. To reach spiritual maturity. And then ultimate sanctification, we all will receive a resurrection body and live with God forever and ever. And so, people are always asking me, Deb and I, we like to go to excellent restaurants. They're not necessarily expensive, just excellent restaurants, excellent food, excellent people working there. And they always, when they see me coming in, stumbling about and walking, they go, "How are you, Grab? How are you feeling? I said, "Well, if I was any better, I'd be in heaven. If I felt any better, I'd be in heaven." And they said, "Oh no!" I said, "No, yes, yes. I'm looking forward to heaven. I really am. I'm not suicidal." But I'm looking forward to heaven. And there's just one contingency. I go before Debbie goes. That's a done deal. I've talked to God about this many times. I go before she goes. I hope she lives to be 150, you know. How many of you want to be 150? And by the way, we are blessed. I hope you people realize we are blessed to have some wonderful, wonderful ladies in this church, the widows in Upland Bible Church. We are blessed to have these ladies. They are all the best of the best. And I just remember the widows. Remember them. And when Deb and I, we like to take them out and go to a restaurant and have a meal. We are the ones that are blessed. Deb and I are blessed to be with them. And it is absolutely fantastic. It is just so, it's laughing and smiling and everything about it is wonderful. So we are blessed in Upland Bible Church to have these ladies in our congregation. So, experiential sanctification, spiritual maturity, completes the legal requirement of the Mosaic Law, which is blessing to the ultimate from the justice of God. Experiential sanctification, attaining spiritual maturity, completes the legal requirement of the Mosaic Law, which is greater grace blessing coming to you from the justice of God. 9. We cannot fulfill the righteous requirement of the Mosaic Law by keeping the works of the law. We cannot fulfill the righteous requirements of the Mosaic Law by keeping the works of the law. The energy of the flesh, the sin nature. 10. We can only fulfill the righteous requirement of the Mosaic Law by the power of God the Holy Spirit. That's what's so special and unique about this dispensation. We're not living in the age of Israel, we're living in the church age. This is a totally unique dispensation. And God the Holy Spirit has a great, great ministry to all of us in this dispensation. We can only fulfill the righteous requirement of the Mosaic Law by the power of God the Holy Spirit. 11. The Mosaic Law cannot provide blessing. It can only state the requirement. The Mosaic Law cannot provide blessing by you trying to keep the works of the law. Keeping the works of the law won't provide salvation, won't provide spirituality, won't bring you to spiritual maturity. The Mosaic Law cannot provide blessing. It can only state the requirement. 12. The requirement is fulfilled in two parts. Two parts. One, salvation. Imputation of divine righteousness at the moment of faith in Christ. Justification by faith. The moment you believe in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you and declares you to be righteous. Now you have His righteousness. God's righteousness. So the first part, salvation, is imputation of divine righteousness, justification by faith. Second part is spiritual maturity, the imputation of greater grace blessings down that grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness. The triumph of justification by faith. 13. Spiritual maturity completes the divine requirement stated in the Mosaic Law. Spiritual maturity completes the divine requirement stated in the Mosaic Law. Divine justice can only bless perfect righteousness. And 14, therefore, the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary to attain spiritual maturity, which is the triumph of God imputing His righteousness to us at salvation. So the filling of the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary to attain spiritual maturity. That's why we're here. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to attain spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, and occupation with Jesus Christ. You love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's why we're here. It can only be fulfilled by the power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. So the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit is absolutely necessary to attain spiritual maturity, which is the triumph of God imputing His righteousness to us at salvation. The plan of God didn't stop for you at the moment you believed in Christ. It started. The gun went off. Boom, you're out of the blocks. All right. Now, you're running a spiritual race from that point of salvation until the Lord calls you home or the rapture, whichever occurs first. And frankly, I keep thinking that maybe the rapture is closer than physical death. And I have one foot in heaven already, and one of my physical feet in the grave, and the other one is in heaven. But I just watch what's going on, not just in America. The degeneracy in our nation is unbelievable. I never, ever thought I would see where we are as a nation and the thinking of the people in this nation. I thought I'd never see it in my lifetime. And I see it, and it's getting worse and worser and worsest. And that's going on here. But it's not just here. Look all over the world. Look at Israel, the apple of God's eye. Israel, whom God has a special, fantastic plan that He will fulfill. Four unconditional covenants that He will fulfill when He comes back at the second advent and rescue the remnant of Jewish believers and take them into the millennial kingdom. And Jerusalem will be the capital of the whole world. The capital of the whole world. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, will rule planet Earth from Jerusalem. And the whole world will be blessed. God has this fantastic plan for Israel. And what is going on? Anti-Semitism worldwide. Anti-Semitism. All over the world, nations are hating Israel and lifting up terrorists as being great. They're terrorists. There's nothing great about them. They're terrorists. And Israel is attacked right now from every side. Every side. And they have one objective: to destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth. That is their objective. And so I look at that, and I see what's going on here. Everything's set. Everything's set. I know the rapture is signless and timeless, but we've never lived in time with the things that we have now. It's all set up for the Antichrist. He will know what everyone is doing on planet Earth. And they know that now. The government knows more about you. The government knows more about me than I know about me. I get on the computer and all of a sudden it starts telling me all these things. I thought, I'll be damned. Didn't even know that about me. And they know all about me. Well, the Antichrist will know everything about everything because we got the technology to do that now. We didn't have it. I know in World War II people were saying the same thing with Hitler and all that. But none of this technology was there then. A computer then was the size of this auditorium. Now it's just a little tiny, you got little ones, laptops and in your lap. But in World War II, the computers were giant. So I know that they still were saying the same thing then, but this isn't then. The technology now is way different than it was then. Now, it's all set up for when, after the rapture, who comes on the scene? Dun, da, da, dun, da, 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 the Democratic Party. No, I don't know. The Antichrist comes on the scene. So the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit is absolutely necessary to attain spiritual maturity. And spiritual maturity is the triumph of God imputing His righteousness to us at salvation. So Romans 8. Verse 3 and 4, for what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, the sin nature, God the Father, accomplished by sending His own Son that very first Christmas, on the first Advent, the incarnation and virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful flesh, true to take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross and to atone for sin. Unlimited atonement. The sins of the whole world. He, God the Father, judged sin. The sins of the world in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. For the purpose that, the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us. The ones who do not walk, live according to the sin nature, but walk and live according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit. Now, we're just getting warmed up. In Romans 8. Romans 8, a whole chapter putting the spotlight on God the Holy Spirit. Totally unique what's going on with the Holy Spirit and each one of us in this dispensation, the church age. And when you realize that and know that, well, that's when you're going to take off. That's when you're going to advance to spiritual maturity. And you won't miss out on the mistos, the rewards. We haven't quite gotten to 2 John yet on Thursday night, but we're getting there. We're in the last paragraph of 1 John 5, and that's over. We're in 2 John. And then there's 3 John. And some of you wonder if I'm going to teach 4 John and 5 John. If you can find it, I'll teach it. There you go. We'll take our break and come back for part 2.